morning from the Financial Times. Today is Wednesday, March 20th, and this is your FT News Briefing. The Bank of Japan is finally leaving negative interest rates behind, and Microsoft has hired a big name in AI. Plus, some countries are trying to poach Europe's AI startups. I'm Sonia Hudson, and here's the news you need to start your day. Microsoft has hired the co-founder of Google's DeepMind. Mustafa Suleiman will run a new consumer AI division that'll bring together products like Bing and Copilot. It's the latest move by the tech giant to capitalize on the boom in artificial intelligence. And it's a race that Microsoft seems to be winning after its huge investment in OpenAI. But antitrust regulators are on its heels. The U.S. and the EU have been looking into Microsoft as part of broader inquiries into AI investments. The Bank of Japan has raised borrowing costs for the first time since 2007. The BOJ pushed up rates to a range of 0 to 0.1%, finally getting out of negative interest rates. It's the end of one of the most controversial economic experiments in recent times. And here to talk to me about it is the FT's Asia editor, Robin Harding. Hey, Robin.
Hi there.
All right, Robin, let's start with the BOJ's decision to raise interest rates. What was the reason behind it?
Well, basically, it's because they think that inflation is on track to be at their target, which is 2% at the end of next year. And if inflation's on target, they think, fine, we don't need to have negative interest rates anymore. Can it be maintained? That is the big question. Wages are still quite weak in Japan. And in the long run, wages are what make inflation go up. When wages are going up, it drives prices up. And so there's a big question about whether Japan really has moved to a new era of inflation or not. Let's see. But I think give the Bank of Japan some credit. They've been working towards this day for a long time.
Yeah. And just to take a little bit of a step back here, why were interest rates below zero for so long?
It all goes back to 1990, which is when Japan's bubble burst. And then during the 90s, things went quite badly wrong, and Japan ended up in deflation, i.e. prices were falling, and they ended up with zero interest rates. And the last 30 years have been an effort to basically get back to some kind of normality, the kind of normality we understand as, you know, you have positive inflation and you have positive interest rates. And along the way, Japan pioneered all sorts of things, such as quantitative easing, that later became very important everywhere else. So in a way, this is the culmination of three decades of experimentation with monetary policy.
Okay, so as the BOJ enters this new era, what questions do you think it'll be grappling with now?
It was a very complicated decision, but in terms of where things go from here, the important thing was a message that they expect accommodative policy to continue for now, which is basically central bank code for expect interest rates in general to remain very low for the foreseeable future. So I think that's what we're expecting in Japan now. This isn't going to mark a sudden shift towards what you might think of as normal interest rates, 2, 3, 4, 5%. Instead, they're likely to remain very low for the foreseeable future, at least until the Bank of Japan has a sense of whether it really is back in an inflationary rather than a deflationary world.
Well, okay, how can we tell then whether this deflationary period really is over for Japan?
Well, the BOJ referred to extreme uncertainty, which is rare words for a central bank to say so strongly. But what that basically means is they just don't know whether they're really on track with inflation or not. A very big uncertainty is the Fed, because the gap between Japanese interest rates and US interest rates is extremely wide at the moment. That makes a huge difference in terms of where investors put their money. So if the Fed starts cutting rates and that gap starts narrowing, I think what you can expect is that the yen will start to rise. And if the yen starts to rise, that means that all the things Japan has to buy from abroad, such as oil, food, start to get cheaper. So that will put downward pressure on inflation in Japan. And that will be the real test, really, is can Japan sustain inflation by itself, even if the outside world is sending it cheaper goods? And we don't know the answer to that question, but I think it's going to be very significant for the future of Japan's economy, its interest rates, and its monetary policy.
Robin Harding is the FT's Asia editor. Thanks, Robin.
Very good.
Unilever is getting out of the ice cream business. That means it's looking to offload brands like Ben & Jerry's and Magnum. The group hopes that splitting off this side of the business will help reduce costs and boost growth. Unilever is looking to save roughly 800 million euros over the next 3 years and cut 7,500 jobs. The goal is to publicly list the ice cream division by the end of 2025. Shares in the company rose as much as 5% on Tuesday after the announcement. Major AI startups from Europe and the UK are being lobbied to move their headquarters to other countries. It's part of a global push by states not typically known for their tech expertise to become major players in artificial intelligence. Here to talk to me about it is the FT's Christina Criddle. Hey, Christina.
Hi.
So which countries are trying to poach these startups and what are some of their goals in doing that?
The ones in particular that we've heard of are Canada and the UAE, but we've also heard about countries like Singapore. And the reason that they want to do this is because we know that AI is huge and it's only going to get bigger. And you have these tech superpowers of the US and China. Many countries want to set themselves apart from other countries and say, we have great talent, we have great companies here, and we are a leader in AI who can at least complement the US and Chinese companies.
And what are countries like Canada and the UAE offering these AI startups?
So Canada does have a bit of a legacy of AI research. So they are really leaning on that research, but also saying that you can get a visa much more quickly. And then in the UAE, they also have similar visa arrangements, but they also offer good tax rebates and have just formed a tech hub in Abu Dhabi as well to attract companies over.
Christina, why is this happening now? Do these countries see some kind of an opening to lure startups away from Europe?
Over the past year, you've seen this huge emergence of AI, and there have been lots of calls to regulate it. And one of the fastest regulations has been in the EU, in the EU AI Act, which was passed last week. And basically, some people have criticized it for being too strict, that it's over-regulating the industry before it's really had a chance to innovate. It actually places some quite strict rules on creators of large language models or foundation models with AI. And so critics of the regulation say it's going to stop us from innovating, it's going to stop us from moving so fast and really competing with some of those big tech firms.
Got it. So these other countries are saying, hey, we don't have the AI Act. You know, this is a place where you can really experiment more.
Exactly. Jonas Andrulis, who's the founder and chief executive of a German company called Aleph Alpha, basically said that he's been approached by countries who are saying, oh, now with all that horrible regulation, don't you just want to move? And so it's being used as a bit of a reason for why you should move out of Europe.
And how convincing are these offers? Do we have a sense yet if companies are going to go for them?
I'm not sure how well it's working. A lot of the companies I spoke to said, you know, they're committed to Europe, they're committed to European values and want to boost the ecosystem in Europe. But we still haven't seen this regulation properly come into force yet. And we probably won't for a little while. So whether they find it too restrictive when it comes in, that might lead to some people moving. You have seen a few startups moving across to Canada already. Captain AI is one of them who's moving out of London and is in the process of moving over to Canada now. And certainly you're seeing a lot of expansion in some of these countries of the AI companies.
Christina Criddle is a technology reporter for the FT. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Before we go, don't forget that from now until April 4th, The Briefing is offering 40% off a standard digital subscription to the FT. Just go to ft.com/briefingsale to take advantage of the deal. We'll also have a link to that in our show notes. This has been your daily FT News Briefing. Make sure you check back tomorrow for the latest business news.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has experienced teams who can craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex. Real wealth requires real solutions. Connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com.
Hi, this is Janice Torres from Yo Quiero Dinero. If you own or operate a business, whether it's a local operation or a global corporation, partnering with Bank of America could be your smartest move. By teaming with Bank of America, you'll enjoy exclusive digital tools, award-winning insights, and business solutions so powerful, you'll make every move matter. Position your business to capitalize on opportunity in a moment's notice. Visit bankofamerica.com/bankingforbusiness to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Bank of America NA, copyright 2024.